This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes, folks. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Arvind Braj.
We're talking about if your company allowed you one day a week to learn or to try something new, what would you do? A company over in the US called Creamer have set up this thing that they call Lab Fridays. It's where they allow anyone to pursue their own projects or interests. The only rule they instituted was that it had to be focused on learning, creating something new, or an activity they wouldn't typically have the opportunity to pursue. We actually managed to get around the office and ask a few people. If you missed it earlier on, this is what they had to say.
I would try and learn digital marketing so I could be better at it. All the methods of promoting something, it just interests me that way. So I'm just curious on all the new things that keeps coming up, and I want to keep learning it and keep myself up to date.
Technical classes, like Photoshop classes, Adobe Audition classes, or even like voice over mentorship kind of thing. Yeah, for example, having the presenters to, you know, help teach the other workers how to have on-air voice.
I would probably do a jewelry workshop because, I don't know, that kind of get my mind off of stuff in terms of like video editing needs a lot of storytelling in it, but for jewelry you just focus on whatever you're creating.
I think I would definitely want to formally learn Bahasa Melayu. I think that would be really useful.
I would most likely sign up for some sort of a theater or sort of acting related activity for one day a week, because normally I would not have time to go for rehearsals. And also, I think it would be good for me to work on my teamwork skills, my improvisation skills, and my general adaptability and creativity as well.
There you go, folks. That is some of the suggestions that our staff from around the office came up with, some of the things that they'd like to pursue. As we said earlier on, a couple of those people in that group have chosen to take up skills or learn things that are related to what it is that they do for a living. Mm-hmm. And the other three, you know, something a little bit different, jewelry making and learning how to, do voiceovers and acting courses and improv. Really interesting stuff.
Like passion projects.
Passion projects, yeah. And I think that's probably what a lot of these people who are doing this every other Friday thing have devoted their time to doing. Mm-hmm. Keeping passion in mind, we move on to our final story.
And Fridays.
But it's related to dating apps. And I can't say that I'm overly familiar with dating apps. I haven't ever used a dating app. But I feel as though I can talk about this because this is something I think is a little bit odd. And I never realized this because I've never used one. So I didn't realize that there are no background checks or
no
anything.
Safety features.
No safety features, right. So this is from The Verge, and Match Group, of course, the largest dating app conglomerate in the US, they don't perform background checks on any of the app's free users. Now, this is according to a ProPublica report recently, and it highlights a few incidents in which registered sex offenders went on dates with women who had no idea they were talking to a convicted criminal. These men then raped the women on their dates, leaving the women to report them to the police and to the app's moderators. These women expected their dating apps to protect them, or at least to vet their users, only to discover that Match has little to no insight on who's using their apps. So this report positions Match as a company interested more in scale than user protection. And Match then came back to ProPublica and said that they can't perform background checks because the system is not just costly, but unreliable.
Hmm.
A few other things. Dating apps have a bit of a deeper identity problem. You know, people might not want to provide their full name on the app because it comes with the extra weight that would shift the app's culture. Women might not want their full names on the app out of fear of harassment. You know, a dating app that provides full names and detailed information about users would be a monumental cultural shift for apps like Tinder that are purposely vague. You know, other things that perhaps a solution to this that have been offered, you know, instead of a background check, apps could ask users to upload a photo of their ID like Uber drivers do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I feel as though dating apps, you know, you should expect them to keep people safe from criminals, which is reasonable. But the industry, they're unequipped to vet millions of daters, of course. So you're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. You want to meet somebody new,
yep.
but you want to ensure that person that you're going to meet is not, you know, a registered sex offender, mm-hmm. A rapist. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you, as a woman, you know, it must be extremely difficult
yes.
to kind of weed through all of that, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I realized like a few years ago that dating apps for men and dating apps for women are completely different experiences. Mm. Like it's two different worlds. My experiences on dating apps have ranged from pleasant to, at worst, suspecting I might be getting catfished,
right.
suspecting, and that's right. like at worst. So when I talk to the people who I've met, some other friends who have been on dating apps, and then I listen to the stuff they say, sometimes I this might sound sexist, but I wonder, like, why are you even on the platform? Like, it's so bad. Like, the stuff that happens on a daily basis is so harrowing and so, you know, it makes no sense. And again, it's like, it's me going from why are you there? But of course, it's an app for everyone and everyone should be able to use the app safely. Mm. But yeah, if those things are in place, it would probably help a lot of people. I think that's why stuff like Bumble is there. So it lets women make the first move instead of the guy.
Yeah.
That's why slightly safer platforms like Coffee Meets Bagel are there. And yeah, like Christine says, they have no choice. There is no choice or no platform or a safer area for them to be on these dating apps. So they have to resort to the same old Tinders or OKCs or whatever's out there. So if these measures came into place, I think it definitely would favor them because it like I said, it's two completely different things, like completely different universes.
I also managed to speak to Christine as well about this, and we spoke briefly about it. And she was saying that one of the issues is once you've come across somebody who is perhaps not being too pleasant and you've reported it back to the moderators or whoever it is, how do you know some kind of action has been taken against that person? You know,
and normally it's not.
And normally it's not. And that person could then just be deregistered and then re-register, yep. perhaps under a different name, a different handle or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're still going around in circles and they're still doing the same things that they've done before. And there's no way to kind of say, okay, well, this one is a serial pervert, mm-hmm. you know, there's no way of identifying them.
Yeah. I once saw, so one of my friends once showed me like a trail of messages that she had from someone, and it was just so, it's harassment at its worst. And I was like, so what can be done? Like, what do you do about the person? And they're like, nothing. You can report him. Mm. He probably gets banned. And then he comes back with another email address or different sort of profile. He registers again. And then he's on the thing. There was even cases where there was this person who harassed one friend and then started talking to another friend. They happened to know each other. And he was on the same platform, just same pictures, just removed, changed the profile, changed his data a bit, got banned and came back. So there's no actual way to keep them out of the system. If you have one bad experience, chances are you're going to keep having the same thing again and again, not with the same person, but with multiple different people, just because there's no one looking after them.
I mean, I know a few years ago there was that data leak from one of the dating websites where it was essentially a dating website for men who wanted to have affairs. And I forget what it was, but the data was leaked.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I think, and so obviously people are worried about there being data leakage and whatever, but I think something as you know, as personal as this is, mm-hmm. people should have to, maybe I'm being a little bit, you know, naive in this, but I think the men should have to register at least with their real names. And I think what should happen is something very simple. You register with your passport, your IC, whatever it is.
Yep.
And then that data is then stored somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then using that data to log in, perhaps, create your username based on that, you know, profile or whatever. And then that profile is linked to that piece of data. And if you get banned or for whatever reason, it will then link back to your passport or your profile, whatever. And then you can have a perma ban on that person because they've had to use their passport or their IC to register. That can't be too much of a difficult thing to implement, surely.
No, I mean, we do it with like ride-hailing services.
Exactly.
Like, and that's because you are actually physically meeting someone out in public, and then you are depending on them to get you from point A to point B. So you have to register because you're literally getting into a car with a stranger.
A complete stranger.
Yeah, who is you've called to come and pick you up. So why shouldn't you do that for someone else who you might potentially meet in the real world and go out with?
And you might meet them somewhere secluded, and you might meet them somewhere dark. You know, I don't know. But it really surprised me that there was no way of like there being any kind of background checks or anything like that.
No accountability.
I was very surprised. Right. On that note, we should probably wrap up. We've been asking you, though, about the Friday or the Tri-Day, or if your company allowed you one day a week to learn or to try something new, what would you do? That's what we've been discussing. We've had a whole bunch of different responses. We've had people from the office responding as well. Barristers and learning how to code and using data analytics, pretending to skydive, music, dancing, you know, all kinds of weird and wonderful suggestions that keep that creativity flowing. We then moved on to...
Then we spoke about how the dawn of quantum computing is probably here thanks to Amazon.
Wrapping up, of course, with that story then about how there are no background checks for dating apps. Right, don't go anywhere though. Coming up after the 1 o'clock news, of course, is the Breakfast Grill replay. Jayati Ghosh is an Indian development economist who has written and spoken about the economics of care work and the implications when such work typically undertaken by women is ignored. She joined the Breakfast Grill to discuss why it's important to recognise care work as an engine of growth and other issues surrounding this. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place at noon here on BFM 89.9 for Enterprise Biz Bytes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.